singing all the way around. Let me see if I can get this button turned on. How's that? You can take your Bible, if you will, please. Now, you might be noticing this nice, good, flexible, high-dollar, fancy Bible that I've got. I hope you have, because I've noticed it. Brother Philippi, he was using that. Let's see here. He bought that a few days ago. You're looking at a $300 Bible. Of course, it went on sale for $225 plus tax, this and that. And I've been looking for a good Bible, goat skin and all that. And anyhow, I'd look at it. And I come back another time and looked at it. Come back close the day before I came to church that night ordering it. Came back, I said, I want to look one more time and compare these words here. I mean, see how, you know, the typeset. And so as got ready to leave, he stuck it in the box, slid it there and said, there it is. Doesn't have a mark in it. It's got a few marks now. Him and Brother Baker, they went in together. I'll never forget it.
Amen.
Yeah. And no doubt I bless the Lord. It moved. I thought, no, man, hey, listen, I'm not trying to get your Bible. You know, I don't sit down in my living room without looking at the walls and thinking of Brother David. He panned all that and wouldn't take nothing from me. You know, these boots I've got on, that I call them frog skin, they're ostrich. Brother John and Miss Evelyn gave them to me. Do you know I've got some knives that you've given me, and every time I look at them, I think about you. I wore a Cabo shirt, navy blue, and man, a beautiful fish. People all over this county think Miss Juanita brought it back this last time. I wear all those things. I never put on a cap. I never put on a shirt. I never put on anything that I don't think, and bless God, Lord, recompense them for their kindness. I can't sit down in my living room and look at the wall with those mounts without thinking about Brother Darrell. Now, he didn't like me shooting some of them, but I don't care. I didn't care. It's easier to say I'm sorry. That place out there in the hill country they had. He got ready to set it. He said, my word, I didn't realize how many times you was in. They took a picture every time we killed something, you know. I said, well, thank you. I appreciate getting to sell it for you. You know, somebody said one time, make no mistake about it, blessed is he that can give without remembering, who can receive without forgetting. And may the Lord recompense all of you. And if I didn't bring you up, it's rest assured. Next time I've got some ties that I think about, and some of them were people gave to me, and I can't stand to look at them now. Well, no, actually, they can't stand to look at me. It's just good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, and to thank God for how good that He's been. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles. Let's turn there real quickly this morning as we look in 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles, we look in about verse number 10. If you're able to stand, then let's do so while we look in verse 10. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, He sent the people away into their tents. You know, every now and again, you just got to go back home. But notice how they went back. Glad, merry and hard, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and Israel his people. And thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make the house of the Lord and his own house prosperously effected. The Lord appeared unto Solomon by night, and He said unto him, I've heard thy prayer. Boy, isn't that good? God's been listening, tuned into your voice. And Solomon, I've heard thy prayer. I've chosen this place unto myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And I'm going to tell you, that pestilence there, that's bugs that bug killer won't kill. He said, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name might be there forever, and that mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and that thou shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the house of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail of thee to be a man ruler in Israel. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Lord, I praise you and thank you now for helping us, delivering Brother Rocky from the jaws of death. Lord, for helping my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, and I pray that you'd continue to work miraculously in their lives. And we pray that now that you'd move upon us and within us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I don't know about you, but whenever I look at the news and I look at people up and down the road of life, I see a lot of people that are religious but lost and undone without God. They no doubt they're trying to somehow or another, I don't know, they're trying to psychoanalyze God. They're trying to maybe put some thoughts that are positive in their own mind. But their whole life is a negative thing when it comes to what's right and what's wrong in the sight of God. They asked one of the men that are up there at the hospital, and he'd been working hard and helping, and we appreciate the contribution on that. But finally came and finally asked him, you know, and about said, well, I guess you're hoping to get off a little bit as long as you've been working. He said, yeah, and she said, maybe you'll get a little rest. And he said, you know, a ball game and a beer, that's about it. And she had already asked him where he went to church, and I'll not mention the name of the church, but obviously they're not preaching nothing or saying. See, these are people that have made their mind up. They're going to live a certain way, do a certain thing. It don't matter if it hair lives God, the world, and everybody in it. They've got their mind made up, and they're looking for some church that goes along with what they already believe. That's the kind of world we live in. I've got kin folks. He could be one of my kin folks that are just like that. No doubt many of you have got kin folks that are just like that. Somebody said, well, I don't know any of my kin folks. Do you have at least two kin folks? One of them's probably that way. And if it's not, thank God, it's a miracle that it's not. Let me say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible, I want to preach on for a little while, is that when revival really breaks out. Let me tell you what happens when revival breaks out. And you might be sitting here this morning and say, preacher, you know, I need some revival. I need something real from the hand and from the heart of God. And let me tell you, when you realize that, you need revival in your soul. We don't have to have a series of meetings and all that business there, but you've got to be serious about whatever meeting you do have and that whatever you're going to be involved in with God. In this Bible lesson, you'll find out, hey, God said every now and again, I'm going to shut the waterworks of heaven off, and I'm going to bring a drought in the land, and I'm going to bring pestilence in the land, and I'm going to remind you that maybe you need to quit looking down and start looking up to where God is listening and answering prayer. We were talking about just now, you know, up there in Tennessee and some of those places there Brother David had just went, is that they've got a forbid consumption of certain fish and this and that. We got that here in Texas. We've got that the Colorado River way up there, they say, is drying up. And that out of all, they said millions of years, but the earth's not but about 6,000 plus, give or take, years old, according to Christianity and some of these scholarly men that work all that up and out. But however long that it was, it's a sad day to see that what's happening. And what does this world do? They just cuss God, the Bible, everybody, and everything that's good, right, moral, and decent. And they never get a hold of the fact that God is trying to get our attention. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that God has got some things that are here that he's trying to point out to you and I, and that is that we every now and again need revival. Do you ever get the blahs? I know you do. We all do that. If you're born of woman, you're flesh and blood. And let me tell you, whether you're a man or woman, every now and again you get a little bit draggy and get a little bit of the blah. And you're just not as glad and happy as you ought to be. Remember when you first got married, fellas, remember? And she was so sweet and so kind and this and that, and then you got on her nerves. No more Pinkston trips for you. I want to tell you right now, is y'all ruined my wife. She makes me speed up every time I go by. Miss Stephanie came in there and said, hey, what's the matter? You don't like Natchitoches as good as you do Pinkston? So when we left, of course, we go by the cemetery over there, and then I cut through and go that way to go home sometime. I pulled in there, and I said, well, let's go in and see what it looks like at the boat dock. We hadn't been here in a while. And as I pulled in there, I stopped. I had my phone ready, and I took a picture of her face and that Pinkston, that Natchitoches sign right behind it. She wasn't happy. She went to trying to let herself. I said, oh, no, don't let your seat back. That's going to look worse than ever. I want to say to you that it's good to be saved. It's good to be able to enjoy your husband, to enjoy your wife, to enjoy your kid, to enjoy your parents or whatever it is. I just said all that every now and again that we take each other for granted. And need a little revival in your heart. You know what a revival does? It'll let you go home better than when you got here. And you notice what he said in verse number 10 that we read? I sent them away back to their tents, and they had gladness in their heart. Look at that. They said their tents, they were glad and merry in their heart. And the reason being is for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and unto Solomon. Let me tell you what happens is that when you're happy in the Lord, you're thinking about how good God's been. When you're joyful in the Lord, you're strong in the Lord, you're not dragging around, but you've got some pizzazz in your step, and you're able to wave your hand to heaven and thank God for how good that God's been. You know, all these people having heart attacks and this and that and going on. I told Brother Rocky, you've inspired me, buddy. You go every year and get your blood checked, and every year and get reanalyzed, and every year they give you a whole list of stuff. And you made me just absolutely want to start getting my yearly checkup. I got to tell you, is that I'm not knocking you if you're going for your yearly checkup. But I'm glad to know, and thanks be unto God, that I'm not having to do that, and I'm doing pretty good. Somebody said, you're not worried about having a heart attack? Well, it don't look like it does any good to worry about it anyway. If I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack, I take off running. If I can run a mile, I know I'm not going to. What if you pass out, they say? Well, the fire ant's probably going to eat me before they find me, give it to me. I got to say to you that if you will, it's good to be cautious. It's good to be careful. Make no mistake about it, buddy. Were it not for the grace of God upon us, he'd be in heaven. Brother Nolan told me how many times that he's come close to going to the other side. And I said, well, what's the matter? You scared of going to heaven? Of course, I just do that picking at him because he's one of my dearest and oldest friends from way back when. I got to tell you right now is that God wasn't helping him keeping him here. God's helping you and I to keep us from having to suffer the heartache and the heartbreak and missing. You see what I'm talking about? I want to tell you what, when you every now and again you go back to your tent, you ought to thank God. Listen, I'm glad God hears and answers prayer. I'm glad that God put praise in my heart for him. I'm glad that God saved me from the guttermost to the uttermost. I'm glad. I'm glad how good God's been and the goodness of God that's brought me to a place of repentance. I can tell you right now is, I notice it every now and again, and there's every now and again a church or two across the country you can stop in. Some of them churches up there over there in Georgia, son, they'll have a shout out just on a Sunday morning when they're praying. First time I ever seen everybody all pray together, it was in one of them churches, Rising Fawn, Georgia. And I went in there, and man, you talk about just absolutely, they said, now, we pray all at one time, so don't let it bother you if you're visiting. And then they let me preach. I thought to myself, man, what a thing. What a deal is this? I want to tell you something. There'd been most of the time I went, and I endured to the end. And I won't tell you what it done. It made me go back to my tent and to thank God for how good God's been and the church we have and the praises of God that's been rendered here and the people that have been saved and lives that have been changed and people that have been energized. I won't tell you, when revival breaks out in your heart, in your house, in your home, it'll make you glad at how good that God is. I don't know about you, but whenever you ask me to pray for you, I take it seriously. And not only do I take it serious, I ask God to move on you in a miraculous manner and to do something that only He could get the credit for. Let me tell you something. These are people here that have no doubt been looking at and been stirred around for a long time. And God raised up a man by the name of Solomon. Now, you know, there's not been one among women wiser than Solomon. And yet he got messed up with 700 women and concubines, and that's something. I mean, what are I preached, what was that the other night? One of the most powerful men fell prey to women by the name of Samson. And here's the wisest man, Solomon, fell prey to women. Then you'll find that his father David, the most spiritual man after God's own heart, fell and lost some things because of a woman. And I tell you what that'll make you do, fellas. Make you want to sit up and pay attention before you just grab any woman that comes along. I mean, how'd you like to get a gal that's beautiful, you know? And you talk to her and ask her what her name is. And, oh, my, you're a beautiful woman. Why are you calling me a woman for? You're not a woman? Well, you're a pretty looking man, but I'm not interested in you. See, isn't that crazy? In this day and hour that we're living in, you talk about a nation that's under God, now without God, and defiance of the things of God. And there's no wonder that we've got pestilence that can't be killed. There's no wonder that we've got contaminated waterways up and down the road of life. There's no doubt that, buddy, that something's gone wrong and God's been trying to get our attention for a long time, and somehow or another, we're just not easy to get a hold of. I want to say, number one, that whenever you begin to look into it, that the right place, you're in the right place for revival. You know what he said? When my eyes are on this place, and here's what revival does for you. It'll make you feel about the house of God the way he does about it. You know what I'm talking about? I know a man that he got up and he said, oh man, I don't want to go to church this morning. I'm not going to church. I don't believe I'll go this morning and all that. Well, you sick? No, I don't feel sick. I've just kind of got the blahs and this and that. And besides that, you can't name a lot of reasons why that. Well, yes, I can, the wife said. It's because, number one, it's right when you're saved to be in the house of God. Number two is that you're a man that's in your 60s and you ought not to have to be begged to go to church. And thirdly, you're the pastor of that church. What would it look like? Now, let me tell you, we're all made out of the same stuff. And we're not always, when we hit the floor, we're not always bouncing. We're not always praying. But I'll tell you, every now and again, you just need to look at yourself and see yourself the way God sees you. And when you need revival, you'll be glad in your house and glad in your heart and rejoicing in the Lord at how good God's been. I can't tell you, after asking you to go up pray with me alone, not only about Brother Rocky, but my wife's sister, and then I was able to talk to her by the next evening or whatever, I can't tell you how glad, if she never talks again, at least that one more time somebody got to converse with her. You know what revival does down at the house of God? Here's what he said, my eye and mine ear is going to be on that place. That's down at the house of God. Hey, listen, God sees you every time you're here. God sees you every time you're not. God sees you. You see what I'm talking about? Here's what he said, that if you feel about my house the way I feel about it, it's a sign revival's broke out in your heart. You know, on the news, they were talking about how faith has dwindled across the country. And no doubt that it has. No doubt that it has. But let me just tell you, it hasn't among people that God gave faith to.
Amen. That's it.
Now, we may be a little gloomy. We may be a little saggy. We may all be a whole lot draggy. But if you're a real child of God, He gave you God-given faith, you still believe as much about God as you did the day that He snatched you as a brand from the burning. See? In this lesson, as we get ready to close and get down to the short road, if you're wanting revival and need revival, let me tell you, you're in the right place. The house of God's the right place for that. It's the right place for that. I want to say in closing here this morning that He said, if my people, that's the people of God. Not talking about the world. He's not talking about the religious world, but He's talking about children of God, people that are redeemed, people that have been called, Isaiah 43 and about verse 1. He said, I've redeemed thee and I called thee by thy name. I want to tell you, every time I read that passage, I can hear Miss Abigail singing that. He knows my name. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't just know His name, He knows my name. That crowd that's over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 7, whenever He said, depart from me, I never knew you, that's a crowd that was preaching in His name, casting out devils in His name, doing many wonderful works in His name. And then, you know, all I say unto them, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That's not me. That's not me He's talking about. He knows my name. And I know Him and He knows me. And listen, it's been sealed down in heaven, and He lives on the inside of my heart. Now, I'll tell you something. If you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I'm not even saved, first thing you've got to do is get saved. He's not, when He said, if my people, if you're not saved, you're not one of them, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. You know, there's no room for pride in the realm of God. There's just not. You can be proud and you can be boisterous, but God won't hear that. He's not listening to that. If you'll humble yourself, and you're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that can do it. We have, and I like to cut up with a lot of people going, you know, whenever I especially go to the hospital, and they was walking Brother Rocky around and all that business there, and they made a couple of rounds, and I told Kim, get a picture of him as he makes a round. You know, get one picture of him and all. Of course, he wasn't as excited about it as we were, but one of them nurses said, I guess they're going to probably use that for a Christmas card. I said, I want to know something. They made about 3 or 4 passes, and he came back. I said, have y'all been able to figure out in all this walking that you've done what's causing this fat? Of course, that made them laugh, and they're tickling. Well, I mean, let's face it, I got a little fat myself. I'm not. Don't be so touchy about it.
Amen.
I mean, no wonder you can't have revival and be glad in your heart. Every time somebody pulls out a fat joke and this and that, I mean, you don't see that bulge I've got right there? Huh? Yeah. I mean, if you're that ashamed of it, you go on a diet and lose a little weight or something like that right there. I'm not bothered with it. Shoot a fat joke to me, see if I flinch. Let me tell you something, is that as we get ready to close, is that the people of revival are people who know the Lord. People who God came knocking one day on your heart's door, and you knew it was Him, and you begin to examine yourself in the light of the Scriptures, and as God disturbed you and God called you by name, you was ready to get up and walk down that aisle, get in an old-fashioned altar, and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Is that you this morning? I hope it is. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our musicians are coming as we get ready to sing a song of invitation. Maybe God's been tugging at you already. Maybe God's already been knocking on your heart, letting you know that it's not anybody on the row. It's you that He's interested in here this morning. Our Father, we ask Your blessings upon the sermon, upon the word.
Yes.
Thy word is true. Now I pray You'd finish and do a work that'll be lasting for all eternity into every heart that's here this morning. We want to say thank You for all You've done. Thank You for what You're doing. Save the lost, we pray. Revive the saint. Lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page 137.
137. But you need to come do it quickly while we sing.
Taste of sweet, because of Jesus.